I'll come right in. Rock flag and eagle.
All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Chairgating, your NASCAR podcast for Belly Up Sports. I'm your host, Rattlesnake, coming at you live once again from the capital of Texas in Austin. And I have an excellent guest today, a reoccurring guest, maybe now beating out Eric Estep. It's James from I Want to Believe NASCAR. What's up, James?
What's up, brother? That's right, we're coming for you. That's right, macho wanna believers. Yeah, we're gonna be the number one guy on this podcast, brothers. Coming for you, Mr. Estep. That's right, I see you in your car, brother. I'm coming for you, passenger side, brother.
I don't know. That's all
we'll
I got.
See, we'll see you, Eric, with your Matt Kenseth hat.
He's always got his Matt the Brat Kenseth, but I'll tell you who was there before Matt the Brat Kenseth, ooh, brother, and that was Jeff Superman Gordon. I'm talking about Big Daddy, brother.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. Yeah, it's okay.
I like it. Now it's becoming a Kenseth versus Gordon thing.
There was a lot of battles. I remember like when I was watching a lot in the early 2000s, there was always some rivalry between Matt and Jeff, even before like that whole like 2006 Bristol spin with the shove and then Chicagoland retaliation, like, you know, even 2002, 2003, there was like a bit of tension between them. I could see at some races when they were running up front. So, it's always good to have rivalries.
Would you say, speaking of you versus Eric Estep, would you say that NASCAR currently is lacking in good rivalries?
I don't know if there's like really any rivalries too. It's like they try to make rivalries happen. Like, I don't know what this rivalry that they tried to stem between the 18 and the 19 was all about. What I see is more or less two dominant shops having, you know, the time of their lives right now, making the fastest cars on the track and having two of the best drivers in NASCAR now piloting them and able to pilot them to victory.
Have they tried to make that a rivalry?
Yeah, it was like, oh, the rivalry between the 18 and the 19. I'm like, no, just because they're the two best cars doesn't mean there's a rivalry.
Yeah, honestly, no, that's not a rivalry at all.
Oh, they even like Martin Truex Jr. and Kyle Busch put an end to that whole thing. I think they tried to start it up at Sonoma when Truex beat Busch, and it was because they were 1-2. Okay, there's no rivalry there. It's like Kurt Busch and Kyle Busch, I don't think there's really a rivalry there either.
I was just going to say Kurt and Kyle more so, but it's more just like a friendly brotherly thing where it's like, my brother was pissed that I won, so he left me, you know, in the jet. Like, that's funny. Yeah, that's just funny because it's two brothers. But yeah, I mean, Martin Truex Jr. is the worst person to try to stem a rivalry with. I mean, what's he going to do? Just call you a really polite guy and say that you're a good driver, but he doesn't like your attitude off the track? Like, what are you going to get out of Martin Truex Jr.?
I mean, he's the kind of guy that will race you the same way, but he still hasn't retaliated yet on Joey Logano, so I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Oh, it's going to come. Yeah, no, it's not.
To quote Dale Jr., it's just like, you know, he said right in the interview, I always told Martin he was too nice. Martin is a little too nice, and you know sometimes nice guys get pushed around, but nice guys are nice. We need nice guys.
That's fine. No, and I have nothing against Martin Truex Jr. being a nice guy. We definitely need them, but if we're going to try to spark rivalries here, that's the last guy that it's going to work out with.
Yeah.
And you know, Kyle Busch is just too good to spark a rivalry with anybody. I mean, maybe Joey Logano, but it's just nothing's come of that. And Joey and like Brad Keselowski are on the same team, so nothing's coming of that.
So, and that's just team competitive rivalry right there.
Yeah, that's not a real
It's just competition.
You can't even be teammates to be like a real rival.
No, I think, it's really hard to stem back to like a good rivalry that I can remember from NASCAR. I think, you know, season battles, you see two title contenders kind of rise up and you see this, you know, more battle than a rivalry kind of unfold between them. Carl Edwards and Jimmy Johnson always come to mind for me. Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards, that comes to mind too. Just kind of the way the two drivers interact with each other and, like, you know, teased and progged each other, like the mental games that went on. Dale Earnhardt versus everyone on the track. I would say Jeff Bodine, him and Earnhardt, that was a good rivalry, even though it didn't last that long, and I definitely was not alive to see it.
But you know why it didn't last as long is the Jeff Gordon one. It was because with a good rivalry, you need the two best guys, the two most talented, to not like each other, to be competing. So the problem I think we're dealing with today is we have a limited selection of people that you can have a rivalry with, right? You have Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., I mean, maybe Chase Elliott, but, you know, those are your guys, really, that you can kind of spark a rivalry with, and just none of those characters are going to be rivals, so.
I mean, I think that the best rivalry that we have present day, it's the most obvious, Brad Keselowski and Kyle Busch. Those two drivers publicly have been on record saying they don't like each other.
Yeah, they don't do enough,
though,
during...
They raise each other differently.
But they enough during, like, I want to see them trying to spin each other out for a win. You know what I mean? That's a rivalry.
Well, they got to get to that point. I think they're cool with each other right now. You know, they're both like dads. They're all like, yeah, you know, I don't need to kill you. You don't need to kill me. We're all good. It's like how, like, Roadrunner and Wild Coyote were like, at the end of the day, like, oh, it's all good, you know? Like, maybe if later on the season they start ruffling feathers, you never know what could happen.
Because that would be a fun one. Honestly, Brad versus Kyle would actually be pretty entertaining. They're both very talented drivers, two of the most talented drivers currently. They both have usually have really good equipment, and they're both outspoken and, you know, willing to speak their mind in the media. So those two together actually would be incredible.
And one thing I don't like, though, that I think kind of stems from this chase aspect is you don't just get two drivers that kind of have to voice at each other. You know, you get like four now, and you got four different, you know, corners of the ring yelling at each other, and it's not as entertaining, or it's not as interesting to me to have four. I think when you have the one-on-one aspect, it's interesting. Or even like if there's that third party in there that just doesn't like any of them, that's cool.
The wild card.
Yeah, wild card.
Guys, why aren't the brakes working?
Because I cut the brakes. Wild card, bitches. Yeah.
Charlie Day.
Yep. No.
Yeah, it's classic. The aspect there, it just, I think it desaturates the rivalry that could be. Though I think last year it played out well with Joey Logano. He wasn't really a rival of anyone specific. Right. If you want to say Truex, I mean, you can. But honestly, Joey's just being Joey.
Yeah, and Truex is just being Truex. He wasn't going to retaliate or do anything, so...
Yeah, so I mean, like, you can't just start to – you can't start some that's not there, NASCAR, okay? And we have 36-week, you know, races a year. I think we can have enough storylines that you don't have to make up these, like, random rivalry ones. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on around the track. I think you guys just need to start being better reporters
there. Well, also, you can't just make up – you can't just start reporting on a rivalry that doesn't exist. If you're going to make up a rivalry, that's fine, but the drivers need to make up the rivalry. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I think that's
kind of like the Earnhardt and Gordon thing, where we're never sure if it really was the rivalry that they portrayed it to be, or if they were just like, hey, we're going to make a lot of money off this. You know, act like an asshole to me and I'll do it back to you. That's fine.
Exactly. It's kind of how, like, Earnhardt treated anybody he raced hard, whether it was like Tim Richmond or Kenny Schrader.
Yeah, apparently he was a really nice guy off the track. People really liked him.
Oh, yeah. He just
Which
put
is hilarious.
On a persona.
Yeah.
he knew it was an act, too, just as much as it was a race. It was an entertainment factor of it. I think really what NASCAR is trying too hard nowadays is to be an entertainment factor. You know, I'm not a guy against Eric Steeb. I like him. He's good. I don't know. Maybe we'd be friends if we hung out more or lived in the same area. I don't know. But something he brought up that I saw was how NASCAR was very vocal, how they really liked this package. They were pleased with it, and they're really more or less pleased with it because of the fact that it is an entertainment package. And I've said this from the start, the current package is just straight up a restart package you want to have with two to go, and everyone's bunched up, and you want the most exciting finish ever. Here we go. And it pleases you every time. Yep. And it has every time. That's why you can't trust polls. We were even saying earlier how you can't trust Twitter and stuff. Because, you know, it's just all like a bunch of blah. You can't even trust any poll you see online because it's so biased in the way we either see who won the race. We see how the race unfolded in the last 10 laps.
Yeah, the finish.
Or what factors finished it.
It's all the finish. Like, it's like, man, Kentucky, great finish. That's an 81% approval rating.
But really, throughout that race, was it that exciting?
Right, and that's the thing. I'm not going to get into my personal take on it. Like, I think the race was fine. Is it 81%, you know, on Jeff Gluck's? Well, no. It is 100% not worth that much.
I would say it was probably the best, one of the better Kentucky races I have 100%.
Seen. Yep, that's what I was going to say. The last I can remember, it might be the best Kentucky race. But it was way biased for the finish.
It was. I will say probably why I'd say it's better is because Kurt Busch won it. And that's a guy I wanted to win.
Right.
I wanted to see Kurt Busch pull it out. Same. And my favorite race, I think, was 2013. And Matt Kenseth won over Casey Kane. And I really wanted Casey Kane to win that race. So I think that aspect, too, kind of has to come into play. Like, if Kyle Busch won that race, I don't think a lot of people would have thought it was that great.
No,
though
I guarantee.
I would have, too. Because we would have saw an amazing side-by-side finish.
The race would have more like 64% instead of like 81. Like, I think it would be that drastic.
Sound bites at the end of that race. Kyle Busch been like, you know, part two from Chicagoland of like sass and like big, like King Kong, like I'm the man. I just won this race. Suck it, world. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he gets like that. It's okay. It's funny to see him like that sometimes. But man, you got to imagine that a great majority of the pure NASCAR fans would have not liked that race just because Kyle Busch would have won. It's like, come on, guys.
Yeah,
you can't let the player make you hate the game.
Yeah, I mean, if
we're not watching a game, we're watching a sport, real sport.
If Chase Elliott wins, it's going to get a huge approval rating because
it's 100%.
Yeah, they're like, well, Chase won, so. That was a
good race.
It's
like 100%, even though like the Kyle Busch fans voted no against it.
Right.
For some reason, 100%.
Their vote never counts. Yeah. Nothing against Chase.
Speaking of NASCAR making things, I always can't stand how they try to make some of these drivers into superstars or faces or stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's a big one.
Recently with Ryan Blaney, it's like Ryan Blaney's like, I don't know, pushed so heavily. Where I do agree with Eric on one aspect, something that does help me see a superstar is seeing them win, and Ryan Blaney has just kind of been the third guy at Penske. You know, he's sitting 11th in points right now. That's just good. It's good if you're gonna lock yourself in on points to make the chase, but it would be nice to have bonus points going in the chase, and nothing screams bonus points like wins and stage wins. And you know, Blaney's got to get those. He's got two stage wins this year, which are like two playoff points. But I mean, when you got your teammates up there with like double digit playoff points, it's like, oh dog, you're slipping.
I mean, and Blaney reminds me a little bit of Alex Bowman, and I know Bowman finally got a win, so this point doesn't make as much sense anymore, but Alex Bowman, before he got his win, he was such a good consistent driver. You know, he's getting top 10s left and right, young talented guy, but it's like, you know, is he a superstar? You know what I mean? Like, he's definitely a fun driver to watch because, you know, when you go to the track, he's probably going to get a top 10 finish. He's young, you know, so he's promising for the future. And Blaney kind of reminds me of that as well. It's like he just can't get these wins. And he looks good when he's driving. He looks talented. He looks like he, you know, should be a future star. And he just, like, doesn't get the wins. And I'm sure if you're a Blaney fan, that's got to be frustrating after a while.
It has to be because, like, you know, as I do like Ryan Blaney a lot. I was a fan of his when he was came about.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always loved his dad. Dave was the man.
Right.
I loved Dave when he drove the Unical car back. Not the Unical, excuse me, the Amco car. Then he drove the Jasper car. He drove a little bit for Bill Davis. Then the Jack Daniels car, which was my favorite ride, the 07. But then he kind of like faded off a little bit towards the end of his career with the Cat car and Bill Davis. But, you know, Ryan was cultivated and developed just for stock car racing. You know, his dad was this champion in World of Outlaws and a like celebrated dirt racer. That wasn't the path Ryan really took. So he's focused more on the asphalt, you know, circle track. And it pays off because, you know, right now he's with the most promising organization at all of motorsports with Penske Racing. And he definitely can break through. I think where we see Bowman able to break through versus Ryan Blaney. And yes, we all know Ryan Blaney won last year at the Roval, but I don't think right. that's a true win for him, like Alex Bowman dominating and taking the win away from Kyle Larson at Chicagoland. And not only that, he had so many second place finishes too. It's right. like, you know, when you're up there contending like that, that not only just gets you motivated that you can win, but it gets all these fans around you to be supportive and to take notice of you. Like, I don't know any other driver this year that's gained more of a fan base than Alex Bowman.
I will say, too, I loved him getting a win just to shut up everybody that's like, oh, he deserves to lose his ride. He doesn't deserve that good of a ride.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking? Are y'all watching something that I'm not watching? Like, this...
The internet just likes to hit the negativity.
I'm like button. This incredibly young, incredibly talented driver that keeps, you know, pointing his way into the right situation. He's getting second mm-hmm. places left and right, top fives, top tens. He's so young. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I was like, if there's one young driver that deserves a ride like that, it is him. Like, sorry oh, for he's sure. not in the media enough for you, but he was always a talented driver. So it mm-hmm. always drove me crazy, especially this season. I'm sure you remember when everybody's like, oh, he's definitely losing his ride. He's going to have to go somewhere else. They're going to have to pull up, what was that, like Cole Custer and stuff like that. And I was like, what are y'all talking about?
You know, the people are just making the craziest accusations about everyone. I think there's too much hype on every driver. I was talking about this with Mark from Facts NASCAR. The hype on drivers has always been there. Even like when we were watching in the mid 2000s, like Reed Sorensen, Casey Mears,
right, yeah.
David Stremme. I mean, even Casey Atwood when he was with Ray Evernham, the amount of hype and pressure that's on these guys to perform immediately and they don't do it. It's like, oh, well, you're out. Like, I'm sorry, but like you guys, they were also competing with a guy like Ryan Newman back then who was winning in everything and he was thrown in everything. I mean, it's hard to be like, well, that guy did it. Why can't you do it? And look at a guy like William Byron. It's 2 years now into his Cup career, and we're saying he should have won Daytona. Daytona. Right. Dude, come on, man. William Byron has had some good runs, and he's had top tens, but he has not been that guy in the top fives that I'm like, he's going to win this race today. I have a really strong feeling about him.
And that was the
Alex
thing,
Bowman.
Too. With William Byron. But, yeah, I was like, why is everyone more confident with him than Alex Bowman? I was like, Alex Bowman is more consistent than he is. And mm-hmm. I get he's a couple years older. But even still, I'm like, I'm not trying to be hard on either of them. But the Alex Bowman thing just never made sense to me.
Yeah, I don't get why fans hate so much on specific drivers, too. Especially like a guy like Alex Bowman. He's proved himself along the way in really tough situations. I mean, running with BK Racing.
Yeah.
He had to give up a decent Xfinity ride with Rab Racing when Rab was okay. I mean, if they had more money, I think Rab would have been one of the best Toyota teams at the time. That wasn't Joe Gibbs Racing in the Xfinity series. And he, you know, he was lucky to land this ride when he did and was able to have the success when he was filling in for Dale Jr. But I feel like the pressure of having Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s car kind of comes with those expectations that the fans just want to put on him,
I
which
know,
are
that's
unnecessary.
So annoying.
It's a bummer, too, that he's losing his sponsor at the end of the year. I know I hate when sponsors do this, the junior effect, you know. They like the aspect of being associated with junior and sponsoring other things, but ultimately they know they just want to sponsor junior or be represented with junior or, like, have that affiliation, so they jump ship and go to him. I mean, in this case, you know, Nationwide's going to have some affiliation within NASCAR, some, like, partnerships and, like, smaller – sponsorship roles, but mainly their focus is being associated with Dale Earnhardt Jr., which is fine. I mean, that's your face, that's your marketing guy, go for it. But like, it takes the opportunities away from a lot of these younger guys like Alex Bowman. I mean, it's just a shame when I see sponsors doing that, but that's just
least,
the nature
I mean, at least Mountain Dew stayed in the sport.
Yeah, that's
they
good.
Found
I mean,
another
behind
I mean,
Chase.
Yeah, it's a totally
they're behind Chase
team,
Elliott,
but
which is good. I feel like they should stretch it more with Bowman and Elliot, and like how like the like a dude crew, like maybe even William Byron comes in, and then Jimmy Johnson's just like being healthy and's like, you hooligans, and they're like dude crew, and they're like extreme.
Dude, Ryan Blaney should be in the dude crew.
I don't think Roger would let him. I think Roger would be like, no, Ryan, not Roger, excuse me. Tim Sindrick would come in and be like, yeah, you know, you're not drinking that Mountain Dew crap. Only water, bro. And he's got that good deal with Body Armor.
Yeah.
Which, you know, speaking of Body Armor, I bought one today.
Well, no free plugs.
I can't wait to drink it.
No free plugs. If they want to sponsor me, I will give my opinion on them when they're willing to give me money.
I just was looking for some other hydration drink other than water, and I didn't want to have Gatorade, and I was just reading like the back of it, and it just sounded interesting compared to Gatorade, and the price point wasn't that bad, so I just
stop giving
one.
Them free plugs.
It's not a plug.
You are selling this now.
Going to the
Everybody
store.
Listening to this is like, wow, that does sound refreshing and affordable.
You know,
are you secretly sponsored by them?
Eric Steep, so I guess they're okay. They keep plugging us NASCAR guys.
You are
guys.
Sponsored by them. I don't trust you.
I don't plug anything. The only thing I can plug is Sebelt belts and seats. If you want safety, get Sebelt. It's the only thing I can plug.
Okay. I'll allow that one. I'm waiting for my Mountain Dew sponsorship still. I've been waiting on that for a while.
Have you written to them or anything? Or like, what is that?
No. I just love Mountain Dew and they should sponsor me. They should just know that I love Mountain Dew. I'm just saying.
You gotta make them known. You gotta like just go to the top of the mountains and be like, "I love Mountain Dew. This is what I do for the dew." And yeah. You're up in the mountain.
I always do the dew. I'm drinking a Mountain Dew right now.
Listen. Oh damn, that's.
So you can hear the straw. Yep.
I can't get behind straws. Straws aren't allowed in our city.
You know, I'm not a big straw.
You eat a strawless, and I thought Austin would be progressive enough to be strawless.
Oh, yeah, it is, but I live in Westlake, which is in Austin, but our own area, thank God, so I don't have to use... Occasionally, it depends on the restaurant I go to. A lot of restaurants choose the paper straws that dissolve. And
I don't mind those.
I hate them so much.
Ted's Montana Grill turned me on to that like a long, long time ago, because that place is like totally... small, minimal ego footprint or, waste that they produce from their restaurants, which is interesting.
Okay, we're back. We just had some technical difficulty because of James breaking the internet.
Lizard came into the room and I had to swat it. Dang old lizard just went everywhere.
Yeah, know? Well, sorry. I mean, he broke the internet because he had the terrible, terrible take that he doesn't mind those damn paper straws. So I'm going to move past that and just hope that, you know, we can still be friends after that terrible take that he had. Anyway.
Just don't use plastic straws, bro.
Oh, my God.
What are we in Central America? Are we in Canada?
What?
Are we in Europe? Why are you using a straw? Put your mouth on the can.
It's not a can. It's America. Arby's. This is an Arby's cup. Can you get more America than drinking Mountain Dew from Arby's?
Yeah, Taco Bell.
Yeah, Baja Blast. I feel you there too. Anyway, enough with straws. While we're off topic for a minute, this is a good opportunity to ask your opinion about something. I had a Twitter poll. I don't know if you saw it or voted on it. I hope you did.
It was on and off Twitter, but yeah.
Okay. It was, where's the most annoying accent, like city-wise? So before I go over the poll and the results, do you have any like cities in mind that you've been to that you're like, yeah, that was a really annoying accent?
I don't know if it's an annoying accent, but like I'll pick up on somebody's accent and I'll start like talking like that person. Like if I'm in a southern state, I'll start having a southern twang to my voice. If I'm like in Canada, I'll start talking like Canadian people. And I think that's probably like up there for me is Canada. Like I really like Canada and all. It's a dope place. But after, you know, you hear a Canadian person for like a little bit. Then you start talking like a Canadian person, and then the next thing you know, everything's okay and everything's just great and fine and dandy. And
oh my god, sorry, that might be the worst accent, actually. Oh,
sorry. Yeah, I know, because it's not. I'm not sorry. From there.
Oh, they're sorry.
Sorry. I mean, yeah, you're any better? I don't know, but like, it's just it. You, I don't know. I start picking up on it. So I guess maybe Canada, for me.
But okay, that's a whole British country. You're naming countries. I need cities. Very specific.
That's even weirder, man. I don't know. Like, because you know, there's like 20 different Georgia accents.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Would Georgia. You be able to know? Okay.
Oh, so that's what I'm saying. Like specific.
No, I'm being very specific here. Okay, so
you said Pacific, like the ocean.
I said specific.
I don't need to hear you know specifics. I need to look about the specifics. Okay, man.
All right, here were the four city options that I gave, and then out of these four, you can tell me if you've heard them. What's the most annoying out of the four, and then I'll tell you what one. So here's the four: Chicago, Boston, Minneapolis, and Long Island.
Oh, that's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the Chicago accent is quite annoying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
But so is a Boston accent.
Yes,
especially like
it is.
A douchebag Boston Red Sox fan.
Right.
Man, they're such douches.
Yeah, that's a tough one, yeah, to listen yeah. to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and so is Long Island. I mean,
right.
Because like in Florida, you get a lot of people from like New York and
yeah,
Long Island.
Yeah, I'm sure,
and
yeah.
Yeah,
and so. Long Island's very specific, too, you can tell. When it's like an obnoxious New York accent, you're like, oh, they're probably from Long Island.
You know, I'm going to go with Boston because even in the Departed, I could not stand like the accents in the Departed. So I'll go with Boston on that one.
Some coffee in Boston.
Oh, yeah. God, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts. You know,
they have the best coffee. Yeah. Okay. Well... I think you'll be surprised to learn that Boston won this poll 57%.
Oh, yeah.
Out of four options, over half of the people voting. So I think that's a fair one. Everybody thinks Boston's just disgusting accents. I even had somebody that writes for Belly Up Sports. I think I've had him on the podcast, maybe. I can't remember. He's going to listen to this and be like, motherfucker. He replied saying Boston accents are considered attractive by Australians. And I replied, you are fake news, because nobody finds a Boston accent attractive. And then number two on the poll was Long Island. So you've been pretty accurate about your takes on these accents as well. And then quite a bit of a drop-off at number three was Chicago.
Yeah.
I think the problem here is not enough people realize that there is a Chicago accent if you actually talk to somebody like really from Chicago. And it's quite annoying, in my opinion. It's like a weird mix of like Midwest, but like a broke version of a Midwest accent. You know what I mean? Like just a disgusting Midwest accent. And then Minneapolis came in dead last, I guess. People are okay with the Minneapolis accent.
I mean, I get where the Minneapolis accent is bad, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's not one you hear that often. I think, like, to me, nothing is like more shoved in your face than a Boston accent.
Yeah, they're very abrasive about their accent as well.
Oh yeah, it's you hear it. It's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
No offense to people from Boston.
Oh, no. All offense to people from Boston. Your accent's awful. Change the way you talk.
Rattlesnake just speaking the truth.
Well, I mean, us Texans never get complaints. I feel like Texans don't have much of an accent. They just say y'all, but talk like normal.
And you got trucks. Y'all got trucks.
Oh, yeah, we do. We have guns and trucks and churches. So we're pretty badass.
I mean, everywhere's got guns. And churches, but y'all got lots of trucks.
Oh yeah, lifted trucks.
Yeah, big. Yeah, that's right. Dumb pickup trucks. Like you put spacers on the wheels, and then it's just like, why? We got a lot of that here too, so don't worry.
Right. Texas and Florida are like weirdly similar in a lot of ways.
Well, it's like a lot of the trash from Texas and Florida end up in either state.
Right. They kind of go back and forth. Like if you go to a prison in either state, you might meet somebody from one of the other states, I'm sure.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, Texans, I don't, unless you're in specific areas like East Texas, you know, along the Louisiana border, they do have accents in East Texas, like thick Southern accents. But other than that, most of the state, like Texans don't really have an accent. We just say y'all. And that's it. So I think Texas might have the best accent because we don't really have an accent.
Well, see, no other accent is better than a French accent because they're just so sexy.
I disagree. What about a French man?
I mean, he might have a seductive voice that makes me like, damn, I wish I had that voice.
All right, let me do a French man accent, and you tell me that this is a good accent. Oh, you stupid American!
I mean, yes, when you sound like some guy, a French guy who's been smoking Pall Malls his whole life.
I think they all are like that.
Well, yeah, they smoke a lot of cigarettes. I did pick up smoking when I was down there because they smoked a lot. Then I quit because I realized I wasn't European, so I couldn't keep doing it and live.
Right.
But yeah, they do smoke. See, I don't think everybody smokes though.
I think French accents are terrible. You know the accent, another country's accents that are good. Ireland's a good one, and Australia.
Australia's cool. My friend Luke's Australian.
And yeah, he's Australian got accents are always just kind of fun. They just sound like they're always down to just have a beer on a beach.
He kind of is. He is always down for beer.
And I work with a lot of guys from Ireland that are just here on like work visas for a year just to live in Austin. And they're all really fun. Very just chill dudes that want to go get beers. Like very stereotypical. And they feed into the stereotype. They're okay with it. And yeah, their accent just kind of relays that sense of like, let's go have a pint and have a good time. And I'm like, that's a good accent to have.
Cheers, mate.
That was okay. That's Australian. I was going to say that's very far from Ireland.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying cheers, mate.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were trying to do a
no.
Irish.
You always got to be thankful, dude. Cheers.
Okay.
Always. Yeah.
Also, the like certain British accents are pretty cool. Not the like fancy British accents, the more like working class British.
Yeah, I mean, like, are you talking like steel metal bands from back in the day, like heavy metal bands, like those British dudes, like
you talk like this, all right?
Oh, like Spinal Tap. Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, like those are pretty cool. They seem like guys that
11.
Yeah, those seem like guys that would don't fuck around, and they seem cool. Not like the fancy British accent, because you're like, ugh.
I'm not a fancy guy myself.
Also, not a fan of German accents. I just don't like them.
Well, it's okay. They don't like us either.
Yeah, well, they can stay in Germany then. I don't like their accent, and yeah.
That's
my hot take on Germany.
People, that's the accents he can and cannot stand. If you are a man or a woman and you have one of those accents, please stand clear of Matt because you'll just be wasting his ear, you know, capacities of listening. He'll want to listen to other things other than your
accent. Yeah, because Germans just like the way they talk. They're like passive aggressive and act like they don't understand, but they do. That's the German accent.
A passive-aggressive person that just knows but doesn't want to accept
the fact that they're like, oh, so you say, like, Mercedes is nice car here? And you're like, yes, it's a nice car. It's imported. Okay, so you like Mercedes? That's a nice car you paid? I'm like, yeah, you already knew that. Stop it.
That was a very, very interesting German accent.
Yep. I lived with German for a year.
It'd be like, I brought my Porsche to the tickle party, yes.
That's a German. You became a German. I lived with a German in high school for a year. He was a foreign exchange student. Hated him.
Did you hate him as much as I hate Dave Moody?
Well, I don't know. Tell me how much you hate Dave Moody.
Man, I don't like Dave Moody. I think he's an asshole.
Okay.
If I could just curse on your podcast for
you
a second.
Can.
But yeah. If
you can have a potty mouth on
like,
here all you want.
If you're like that, like how you're saying a German accent is, his just persona towards people is like a German accent. You know, he just thinks he knows everything and then he just acts shrewd.
Yeah, okay, so this is actually, let's get into this for just a minute. So everyone hates Dave Moody, correct? This seems to be a common thing, at least online, on social media, in the NASCAR world. I don't keep up with him at all. I don't listen to him. I don't follow him. So what's his deal? Why do people hate him?
So I actually tried to call into a show once. I think it was like 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I was calling in to talk about Tony Stewart, Stewart Haas, and like maybe some of the marketing strategy that could have been presented with like this whole Danica thing. And it's like Danica might not be successful, but she's going to bring in enough money to like float this team.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't even get get to my point before Dave Moody had to stop me and act like he was a marketing professor and basically tell me everything I needed to know about marketing.
Basic marketing. Do you remember what he told you? Because I'm interested in his marketing tips.
Oh man, it was so bad. I don't remember exactly, but he just started spouting off like random facts about the sponsors that were already there, like Bass Pro Shops and everything, mm-hmm. and how much, you know, that they're bringing it in. And it's like, you know, they've been here long enough and they know what they're doing. And like, just like trying to give me a runaround that like he knew more than I did.
So was his point that Danica Patrick would be a financial mistake for sponsors?
He wouldn't even get into that point because he basically shut me down.
What was his argument that you were trying to like speak – that you were trying to speak with him about?
So my argument was – or not even argument. I think the
point,
entire
that's fine,
point
yeah.
Yeah, that I was just trying to bring up was that, you know, I think it's just a better financial move for them to bring on Danica Patrick because mm-hmm. with that team afloat, you know, it kind of gives them a representation to add a fourth car because I think at the time it was like – Ryan Newman, Tony Stewart, and Danica Patrick.
And so was he saying it's a bad idea that they just shouldn't bring her on? Was this what he was trying to – the message he was trying to convey?
No, basically the message he was trying to convey was that, you know, I don't know how much GoDaddy is spending. I don't know how much anything about anything is, which is wrong because, I mean, the information's out there. You can go to jayski.com even back then and, like,
right.
look up, like, the PR, you know, statements that even included how much, you know, GoDaddy would be spending. Even if you wanted to dig deeper, you could find the full, you know, excerpt or statement or even like some kind of like physical form of paperwork that just, or excuse me, not just a physical form, but just another document that would back up, you know.
So your issue with him, just in this one situation, as an example, because obviously there's more, but in this situation, it wasn't with the point he was making, but the fact that he was just belittling you and underestimating your knowledge.
Basically, yeah. Okay. It's like I get that he has to deal with a lot of fans and that maybe a lot of the fans that call in are not knowledgeable people, aren't smart people, and may be like just spouting off random nonsense.
Look, all I'm saying is Danica's a woman, and if we were Islam, she wouldn't even be driving.
Wow.
That's a hot take,
like,
dude. That's a hot take. What about
like
an Islamic woke redneck? When he's just like, you know, praise Allah, you know, Danica shouldn't drive because she's a woman. And I love my Muslim brothers.
I think that's probably like when like some people would get through the screened calls. And that's probably why he probably shuffled people off the air so quickly. It's just like, I need to get to the next person immediately.
Yeah.
There's so many people calling in.
That
right now.
Person would be an SNL skit. That would be a great one. Yeah, okay. So I've just seen everybody hates him, and I just wasn't really ever sure why. And then I'm like, well, I don't really want to listen to him if everybody hates him so much. So then it's this like cycle of me never really understanding why he has so much hate.
Well, for a while, I thought it was me. I thought I was just an idiot, and I probably didn't know what I was talking about.
It seems like everybody that
on
Twitter.
But that's what I came to find out, was like, man, he's just really treated everyone like garbage. It's like, I'm not the only person. Like, I even remember calling into Dave Despain's show back in the day, and I was making dumb points. I was not the most educated person at times. I was more speaking with passion as a fan, and I think he really wanted those clips for his show.
Dude, I have a podcast, and I'm a dumb person that doesn't know anything, so it's okay.
Yeah, but when you're going up against Dave DeSpain, it's kind of hard to look good.
Right, I mean, obviously. But, yeah, that's why I bring people like you on so I can look good.
I'd like to have a conversation with Dave DeSpain. I'd like to, like, just pick his brain about just all of his experience and, like, not just experience, but his experiences and everything he kind of, like, was able to see and also achieve with his work. It's pretty crazy because he was, like, in the dopest times of racing. You know, he was around, like, during, like, the 90s, the 80s. He was there for, like, motocross to become, like, a big thing and shit. Like, he saw some pretty cool stuff. So, I don't know. There's, like, I don't know. Even nowadays, I kind of feel like we're all kind of growing up in the wrong era of racing.
Yeah, definitely for racing. It's a tough one. It's cool that we get to grow up with social media and streaming.
Yeah.
And you can say, well, that's part of the problem. And you're not wrong. It is part of the problem. But it also is so much more accessible now and easier to vocalize opinions. And, like, so it's bittersweet.
It's like a double-edged sword because, like, you see what was around and what was there, and it's like, man, if only. Like,
only I had Twitter and hashtags. I would have been hashtagging the Intimidator like crazy. Yeah.
If I had a digital camera back then, geez, I would just, like, have been, like, secretly getting all these photos and then archiving them for later on in life.
Yeah.
I mean, because, like, I can't find photos 90% of the time. Oh, it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, I'm with you there. When I'm trying to, like, create new designs and stuff, and I'm looking for good photos, and I'm like, well, these are the same 10 that I get every time.
You can't keep using them, man. You gotta keep switching them up.
That's what I'm trying to switch up. Did you like my new shirt with the throwback Wrangler Dale Earnhardt car?
I saw that. It was a good way to commemorate the old Ironhead era of Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, do you like that?
Yeah, it was decent. I thought it was a good design. I like that minimalism.
Oh, just the decent, huh? All right.
I mean, yo, it's all about that minimalism, yo.
That's what I was going for. But see, you gotta
throw that nice chair gating logo you made that looks so old school and retro on some shirts too, and then it'd be mighty fine designs because then you'd have Maltese. You know, I'm just saying.
Oh, you know, so you're saying
expand the line.
You think I need to put the logo on more things?
I mean, you worked hard on that retro logo to put it on the hood. Why just put it on the hood? Put it on the t-shirt too. Put it, like, make a t-shirt just with that retro logo on it.
Oh, like, are you talking about the one that I, like, replicated the Wrangler of to put on the hood? Yeah, that is kind of cool looking, wasn't it?
Yeah, you should put that on some stuff. Put it on some koozies. You know, you gotta promote, like, that you keep your Mountain Dew cool. So, you know, your dew doesn't cool your hand and your hand doesn't warm your dew. You know what I mean?
I think...
Keep growing that.
I think that I don't think I'm being biased when I say this or opinionated. I think it's just, you know, a matter of fact that my t-shirt design is the best one that's ever been created in the history of racing.
Now see, here's one man that will disagree with you. His name is Luke Creative.
Yeah, he's good. He's almost as good as me. So, you know, props to him for almost getting to my level.
I think maybe the problem with Lou and I is we went to art school and you didn't. You just, like, skipped all the traditional barriers. You just jumped and went in, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm not going to go to art school. What, am I a nerd? Hell no. I'm cool. No, I didn't go to art school. I went to a big university and went to football games and joined a fraternity and partied. And
they called me Buzz. I got straight C's. I woke up every day. It would be like, you know, some SoCo, rally, have some Natty Lights, go to class.
No, didn't go to class.
I mean, you got to go to class and then have some more Natty Lights.
No, you don't go to class. Duh, everybody knows that, dude.
See, I had to go to class. Like, I didn't have that nice option like most people did. Like, you can miss class. Like,
oh, if I missed three classes,
I was expelled from my class.
Well, so. I've tried to make shirts with you, and you're so damn picky that we can't ever get anything. So I just keep making my own, and people keep loving them. So
I mean,
you can
yeah, more,
shove your
more
art school deep. Degree up your butt with that.
Whoa, what are these? Like, I don't. You gotta explain exactly what's going on with these older, like people when they like make the photo with the old dude face. Like, what is that?
Oh yeah, it's like a thing right now that everybody's doing.
Why?
I don't know. Everybody was doing it, so I did it.
I mean, I don't like. I'm just.
And yes, if everyone jumped off a bridge, 100% I would jump off a bridge. So don't even ask that. That's a stupid question. Obviously,
oh, man,
I'd jump
like,
off a bridge.
I just saw Eric. Someone did it with like Eric.
Yes.
And Matt Kenseth, and I'm like, oh, they made Matt look old. That's
yeah.
so weird.
Yeah.
Not about that.
So you're gonna have to. All right, this last time, you see down there with your face on my Instagram. I have this picture of you down there. Anyway, this time you're gonna have to send me some image to post on my Instagram with
like
your
a picture.
Yeah, because I had to like go through YouTube and like find a good like image of you and stuff. So yeah, this time you're gonna send me something and be like, listen to me talk.
Yeah, maybe I'll send you a nice photo of me at the track recently.
That'd be cute. And then I'll make you old.
Make me look old. Because, like, I'm definitely not going to post that. Because I'm not on the trend stuff. I need to catch up on the posting about cars. I'm too busy posting about NASCAR on a page.
Nerd.
Hey, you're a NASCAR nerd, too. So.
Yeah, I know. Except I don't get as many likes as you on Instagram.
Yeah, it's because I spent my time in art school focusing on social media and stuff.
Nerd! Everybody listening knows who the cool guy was. The guy that got straight C's, took 6 years to graduate college.
Nah, I'm pretty cool with what I got. It wasn't bad going to art school and, you know, having 70-30 split, majority women, was not bad.
Well, I lived in a house with a bunch of dudes.
La. Dun, 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 dun. I'm like having my victory music play right now.
All right. It's
like the life and times of bachelor art school. That was fun.
Are you
karting?
Also, are you? What's the next NASCAR race you're going to?
That's a tough one. I don't really know, honestly. NASCAR wise, I'll be at an IMSA race this weekend. That's the thing. I'm more at IMSA races than I am NASCAR races now.
Right. I mean, that makes sense. That's your job.
Yeah.
I think my next one is going to be Darlington. So I'm going
to
be
I'm trying
there.
To get to Darlington. I want to get a media pass, so.
Ooh, I'm going to be infield.
Fun.
The person that hooked me up with my Austin Dillon interview. You know, I will not drop names, but he is getting me into the infield. He's going with me this time. So, we'll see. All my Cherrygating fans, stay tuned. Because there could be a lot more content coming out of that race.
Have they released their throwback scheme yet? Or
RCR
no?
did. People are doing it slowly.
I mean, currently Bowman's got the most fire one, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with what he has to work with, too, it's always, you know.
Yeah, I hate that sponsors don't want to, like, get super... like super specific with logos. Like I wish a lot of sponsors would kind of get into the theme of it and go with the entire old school aspect of it and like redesign their logo to kind of fit. But like sometimes you can't and it is what it is. But I think Axeron did like a good thing. And it's like, just, I don't know. It's just nice to see Tim Richmond being
represented. You remember the black gold number 3 car?
Yes.
It's literally black and gold and it said black gold on it.
Mm-hmm.
Throwback, I think it was a Monte Carlo. That's what Austin Dillon's cars. But instead of black gold, it says American Ethanol, which is still pretty tight.
Was that supposed to be like the Bass Pro Shops one?
No, it was black gold, black and gold or something like that. It's Dale Earnhardt's throwback. Well, I think it was a Monte Carlo that he was driving.
Hmm.
Yeah, just look it up. It's a pretty sweet one, honestly. But the number 3 always has cool throwbacks, you know?
Yeah, RCR does have the arsenal of everything to pull out from, so...
The only problem was we finally get the number 8 back. And, oh man, there was a great meme. back when they were doing this one meme. We get the number 8, so you're like, okay, yeah, cool. And I get there's not like a lot of throwbacks from the time period and decade that they're asking for, but their throwback paint scheme is literally a cat tractor, and that's it. It's just designed to look like an old tractor.
That one was, I don't know, like, I feel like the spirit of throwback is all about, like, being genuine to NASCAR throwbacks.
Right, not, like, so a not a tractor. Throwback. Not a tractor. Yeah. It doesn't make it. Actually, you're just like, what?
Looking back at the car, it is, like, the black and gold car. It's actually Richard Childress's car he drove. So it's even cooler for right. Austin to homage to Pop Pop. There.
And it's just a cool design. And it even has the red, white, and blue, like, streak down the hood and the roof that goes all the way back. I really like that design. So when I saw it, I was like, okay, that's tight.
That is tight. And then, you know, like, I don't know. This is the last, like, Darlington throwback weekend ever, which is a bummer.
What do you mean?
Because, well, this race won't be on Labor Day weekend.
Yes, it will.
Not next year.
Uh-huh.
Not that I thought they changed the whole schedule up.
No, I think they're keeping it Labor Day weekend. They're just changing the dates for the playoffs because I think it's gonna be the last one to get into the playoffs. Right.
That's what it is. So like, but now this becomes.
I think they're keeping it Labor Day weekend.
I gotta look it up again, but it's like I feel like it loses its lust of being like the true Darlington race, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like September 6th. Well, yeah, that'll be. Yeah, because Labor Day weekend changes every year. I don't know. It's got to be, like, because that's, like, the tradition of it, right? Like, they brought Darlington back for Labor Day weekend. That, it wouldn't
if
make
it's
sense
September
to do
6th, hopefully Labor Day weekend is September right. 6th that year.
Yeah, because it wouldn't make sense to run it any other time. That doesn't make sense, you know? That's the whole point of it.
And that's the only aspect of it right now, unfortunately. I feel like the track has, like, enough merit and, like, history itself.
So the 7th on Monday is Labor Day for next year. So that's good. Because my parents live an hour and a half from the track, so I go to that one. Last year, I started the tradition. Now I'm going to go every year because it's a long weekend. So.
There you go.
Have you been to Darlington?
No, I've never been up to South Carolina yet. I've been to North Carolina, I've passed through South Carolina.
Man, Darlington is a lot of fun to go to, just because it's an old historical track, and it's filled up, you know, for Labor Day weekend, and it's just a lot of fun.
See, I'm always too, like, in the zone of, like, ever since I started, like, working, I don't want to go to the track and, like, just hang out. I always, like, want to be there with my camera, at least, and have some kind of way to access specific places and take photos and stuff. Like, it's kind of hard not to do that anymore. I don't know.
I feel you.
Yeah, it's just like I would love to go to that race with a media credential. I think that would be the best thing about it, and just have some fun, just taking photos, just not trying to take a video is too hard, but just some photos. I mean, that'd be nice, you know. Maybe work on an editorial while I'm there. I'm just chilling and thrilling.
Well, eventually we need to go to a race together.
Yeah. So. I'll be busy, like, doing random things during the sessions.
No, dude, we can work together, because I'll create some content. You can take photos.
There you go.
See? It would be perfect. We both get media passes.
NASCAR just needs to start giving us media passes right now.
Yeah, that's true. I say I want to get sponsored by Mountain Dew, but NASCAR, I'll easily sell out. So if you want me to always be positive about every single decision you ever have, just pay me, and we don't have to disclose that. And yeah, I'll sell out like nothing. You know, it's not gonna take much for me to sell out. So if anybody from NASCAR is listening, I hope that you hear me loud and clear.
Just sell out.
Just immediately. Yep.
Oh man, that's too good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, my soul's not worth too much, so just NASCAR, hit me up.
I just imagine sellout playing right now from Real Big Fish. So.
Ooh, damn, I forgot about that song. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, that's the outro then. That's what's going to be playing right now. Thanks for coming on, James.
Always, yeah, thanks for having
always
me.
Always fun to have you on. Yes.
Always fun.
Always a good time. I needed to have you back on. I've been doing those interviews with ARCA drivers. A lot of fun with those guys, but I needed somebody to just bullshit with for an hour. So thanks for coming on for doing that.
It's no problem. You know, it's totally great to be on Totally ARCA. You know, Steve Burns always talked up the show. And,
Totally ARCA.
Man, it's great to be on Totally ARCA.
I'm changing the name. It's Totally ARCA. You're not listening to Chairgating anymore. It's Totally ARCA. Everybody go to bellyupsports.com, obviously. Give us those sweet, sweet, sweet page views because we want your money. Thanks once again, James. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah, we'll do. Appreciate it. And hopefully I'll be back on shortly. Thanks again, Rattlesnake.
All right. Peace.
Later.
I can't drum up any news sales since I'm stuck behind this microphone 24 hours a day. So, I have been forced to sell the station to Mexican interests. Viva la revolucion!